Psalm chapter number 46, and we'll read the entire psalm. There's only 11 verses. It won't take long, so I don't want to scare anybody by saying we're going to read the whole chapter, but it's only 11 verses. If we'll begin reading verse number 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. As I was reading through my normal Bible study, Bible reading, I came to this verse of scripture that I had heard many times before. And as Christians, many times we are busy in the work of the Lord. I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. You've been busy before? Anybody? Amen. We're always busy. In the world that we live in, there's a hustle and bustle. We live in a fast-paced society. We live in a society that wants everything right now. I enjoy having a smartphone because I can get news right now. I can get everything I need right now. We go through the drive-thru to get a quick bite to eat because we're in a hurry. But that's not only true in society, but it's true in Christian realms as well. Many times we as Christians are busy and we're doing things for the Lord. We're working. We're nonstop. We are going at a fast pace. But many times we as Christians, we fail to realize some important things because we're just going too quick. This psalm, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. This whole chapter talks about how that God is the Almighty God. I'm glad tonight that I don't have to wonder about the God that I serve. I know that I serve God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence. That's the God that I serve. And tonight, he is the God that is above all gods, little g. He is the one true God. He is God Almighty. And many times we as Christians, we get so busy that we fail to realize exactly who God is. We know in our minds who he is, but we fail to realize it and take full advantage of the God that we serve in worshiping him and spending time with him and spending time in fellowship with him. And many times we as Christians just need to do one thing. We just need to be still. As a parent, you probably have said those words before. Be still. The tour group can attest that as we travel in the van, I say those words many times with my three kids. We have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And they travel and they all sit in one seat on the van seat. You know, they sit right next to each other. So I'm constantly saying, be still. Quit moving around. Be still. But I believe God is telling us that. Sometimes we as Christians, we just simply need to be still and know that he is God. This psalm was written by Moses after the crossing of the Red Sea. And Moses, as he looked back, he said, you know what? We just need to be still and know that he is God. And tonight, I want to just talk to us just for a few minutes just on this subject. Just be still. Just be still. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you be this tonight, Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I've asked you already many times today. I ask you once again to fill me and help me to say only what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Lord, I pray that tonight Christians will leave here encouraged and strengthened and drawn closer to you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to bring honor and glory to you in everything that is done and said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Tonight, I think there's three things that I want to look at tonight that we just need to be still and remember. Be still and realize. Number one, we need to be still and see His salvation. As I said, this chapter in Psalm chapter number 46 was written after the crossing of the Red Sea. As you recall, Moses, as he came to the brink of the Red Sea, the children of Israel had just left Egypt. They had come out. They had come out with a high hand, the Bible says. And as they came out, they came to the Red Sea. And there was a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side. The Red Sea was before them. The armies of Egypt were behind them. And as soon as this all took place, the people of God started doing what the people of God have always done and continue to do to this day when they get to a hard time. Before we start praying to God and asking God to help us, we begin to do what? We begin to murmur. We begin to complain about the situation we find ourselves in. Maybe I'm just testifying tonight. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but I have to confess I'm a sinner, and sometimes I end up doing that. When I should go to God and ask God for help, I begin to complain about the situation I find myself in. And the people of God did just that. And they came to this the edge of the Red Sea, and Moses and God are having this conversation. And Moses said unto the people in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse number 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Hey, Moses said to the people of Israel, he said, "Listen, you're wanting to know the answer from me." And Moses said, "I don't have the answer, but God does." He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And I believe that we, as individuals, we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord today. I'm glad that just as Moses told the children of Israel to see the salvation of the Lord that day, that we can see the salvation of the Lord true in our lives. I'm glad for the day that I realized that there was nothing that I could do to get myself to heaven. You see, we cannot work our way to heaven. Just as the children of Israel that day could not get out of that situation on their own. There was nothing that they could do in their power. They were surrounded. The Egyptians were behind them. They were entrapped by the mountains on either side. The Red Sea was before them. There was nothing that they could do to get out of the situation. And just that same way, hell was before us. There was no way for us to work our way out. There was no way for us to make a way of salvation for ourselves. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's not one thing that we can do to get ourselves to heaven. And we have to realize that we cannot work our way to heaven. The Bible says in Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." I'm glad that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to receive salvation. We have to stand still and see His salvation. Because our salvation does not come from us, it comes from Him. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 22, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." I'm glad that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way of salvation. And there had to be a day in your life, and there has to be a day in each and every one of our lives, that we stand still and realize there's nothing that we can do to receive salvation on our own. There's nothing that we can do to merit salvation. Jesus Christ did it all when He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day. He ascended to heaven as our great high priest, and He paid for our sins in heaven with His own blood. It's been bought and paid for. All we need to do is just stand still and accept it. Put our faith upon Jesus Christ. Christian, if you're here tonight and you've already done that, you say, "Well, you're preaching to sinners." No, I'm preaching to Christians as well, because as Christians, we need to do what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 13 and 15, and just remember. He says, I want to put you in remembrance, Peter said. He says, you need to remember some things. He said, Peter said, and 2 Peter said, "I'm not going to be here for very long." He says, "But I'm writing these things to put you in remembrance." You know, as Christians, when we come to a place in our life to where we don't understand what's going on and we feel like that we're at the end of our rope, you know the first thing that we need to do is see the salvation of the Lord once again. Remember where Jesus has brought us from. You understand, we don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. I have some amazing opportunities in my life. I've been married to my wife for almost 12 years. We have 3 wonderful children. The Lord is taking care of us. We have blessings beyond measure. But I don't deserve any of them. I don't deserve any of them. And I most certainly don't deserve to go to heaven one day. I don't deserve it. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ paid the price for me on the cross of Calvary. And when I'm having a rough day, I just need to stop for a minute and be still and see His salvation once again. You know, we as Christians, many times we get busy in the work of the Lord, as I said in introduction, and we are at a fast pace, and we come in a hard time in our life, and we just try to push through it, and we just try to keep pushing. Hey, I'm all for persevering. I believe that Christians don't need to give up, but we need to realize that we cannot do it on our own. I can't get to heaven on my own, but I can't live the Christian life on my own either. And when I come to a place in my life where I feel like hope is lost, I need to just stop and see the salvation of the Lord and remember where Jesus Christ brought me from. And when I start thinking about what God has done for me, and I start thinking about the opportunities that I've been given, and I start thinking about that one day I get to go to heaven. You know, nothing on this earth is going to matter when you're in heaven. It really is not. You can put things in perspective when you realize, no, I'm going to be in heaven one day. God has saved my soul from hell. All this other stuff, it matters now, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter in eternity. We as Christians need to realize that God is the one who's done the saving. We need to just be still and see His salvation once again. The second thing I think we need to be still and do as a Christian, sometimes we need to just be still and subject ourselves to the Word of God. You know, we need to be still and see His salvation again, but we need to be still and subject ourselves to the Word of God. As I was reading my Bible once again, I came across this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter number 9. And this is where Saul was seeking his father's donkeys. He has been sent out by his father. The children of Israel had begged of Samuel to give them a king. They were tired of just having God as their king, and they wanted an earthly king. They wanted a human to rule and reign over them. They had begged for this, and of course we know the story how that Samuel warned them about this, but yet God at the end said, give them what they want. And so God had chosen Saul to be king over Israel. Saul was sent to go find his father's donkeys that were missing. And as they sought and they sought, they could not find them. Finally, the servant said to Saul, he said, hey, there's a man of God not far from here. Why don't we go ask him? So they went and talked to Samuel. As we come to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 27, the Bible says, as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant to pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. You know what? Sometimes we as Christians need to just stand still and spend some time in the word of God. We get busy in our Christian life, and I don't know about you. Maybe you're a better Christian than I. You probably are. But there's been times in my life that I've gotten so busy that I've gone through most of my day without ever opening the Word of God and getting what I need from the Word of God. Friend, that should not be in the life of a Christian. When I get to the end of my day and I realize I've done that, you know, I have to stop. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I have to open the Word of God and get something from the Word of God. You know, we need to hear from God on a daily basis. You know, you as a Christian, in order to grow closer to God, you've got to hear from Him. You've got to talk to Him. And we get busy in our lives and we don't take time to subject ourselves to the Word of God. Samuel told Saul, he said, stand thou still a while that I may show thee the Word of God. I'm glad that we as Christians have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He teaches us the Word of God. But you know what? In order for the Holy Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God, we've got to open the Word of God and begin reading. The Bible says that there is no scripture, no prophecy of Scripture that is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That same Holy Ghost as our teacher was the very Holy Ghost that inspired the Word of God. So what better teacher do we have than God Almighty, the Holy Ghost of God, to teach us the Word of God? But we've got to open the Word of God and allow Him to teach us and subject ourselves to the Word of God. As I was talking to the teenagers this morning, I brought up the scripture in Psalm 119. The Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Hey, God wants us to take heed to the Word of God. We've got to spend time in the Word of God. It is vital in the life of a Christian to spend time in the Word of God. You say, "Brother Montgomery, I've heard that I need to read my Bible before." I have too. I've grown up in church my entire life. I've been a pastor's son since I was 6 months old. And I could not tell you the number of times that I've heard a preacher stand and say, "You need to read your Bible every day." I'm sure that if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard those words come from the pulpit. You say, "Why do preachers keep saying it?" Because Christians don't do it. And we as Christians need to realize our need for it. So many times we get busy. Hey, once again, there's nothing wrong with working for the Lord. We all ought to. But we don't need to get so busy in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. We've got to be still and subject ourselves to the Word of God. We subject ourselves to the Word of God by reading the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. But we also subject ourselves to the Word of God by listening to the man of God. Just as Saul did here in this passage that we read, he listened to what Samuel told him. I'm glad that God has put a man of God in my life, throughout my life, to help me to know the Word of God, to help and lead and guide and direct my life. A pastor is a wonderful gift, and we as Christians need to listen to the man of God. It's amazing to me when people get backslidden. We don't like that word, do we? Backslidden. Nobody wants to be called backslidden. But you know, we all get backslidden. And a lot of times when we do that, the first person that we're against is the preacher. I told you, I've grown up in church my whole life. I've seen it. That's the first person that somebody gets mad at when they get backslidden. You know what? We ought to thank God that we have a man of God that will stand and preach the Word of God, whether or not we like it. Because the Word of God is still the truth, no matter if we're right or not. And the Bible tells us, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." I'm glad that God has given us someone to watch for our souls, to give us what we need from the Word of God, to equip us to be right with God, to do what God would have us do. And we need to submit ourselves to the Word of God by listening to the man of God. In order to do that, we've got to be in church. Amen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to hear the Word of God, hear it preached, hear it taught, hear us get instructed from the man of God, from the Word of God, so that we can subject ourselves to the Word of God. We just need to be still. Hey, I'm glad. I love Wednesday night church. I don't know about you, but I enjoy Wednesday night services. Because I just get to stop for a little while and be still and listen to the Word of God. Throughout the week, there are many things that come our way. We get busy. You understand what I'm talking about. But to come to church on a Wednesday night and to get encouraged from the Word of God and get lifted up, to be taught from the Word of God, to get instructed from the Word of God, to have the Holy Spirit speak to us and to make a difference in our heart. Man, I cherish the opportunities that God gives us to be in church to hear the preaching of God's Word. And God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them. And we as Christians need to realize we need to hear the Word of God on a daily basis. We need to hear the preaching of the Word of God from the man of God. And we need to just be still and subject ourselves to God's Word. And then lastly, the last thing that we need to be still and do, we need to be still and see the work of God. So many times we as Christians, we say, "I need to be busy in the work of God." And I understand what we're saying. We do need to be busy in the work of God. It's like the old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. That's true. in the life of a Christian, we need to be doing things for the Lord. But as we do things for the Lord, we need to understand that it's not us that's doing it. You say, I don't understand what you're saying. It has to be God working through us. God uses us to accomplish His work. It's not us that does it. It's Him working in us. Brother Jeff Farnham preached our college graduation this past Friday, and he preached a wonderful sermon on this subject of letting God work through us. It's God that does the work, not us. And we as Christians need to understand that. The Bible says in Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 8, here we find the children of Israel once again as they come to the River Jordan. They're fixing to pass over and go into the promised land after all these years of wandering and disobedience to God and trials and heartaches and people, everybody that came out of Egypt that were over the age of 20 have died in the wilderness because of disobedience unto God. And they come to the edge of the River Jordan, and they're getting ready to cross into the promised land. The Bible says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when thou art come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Now what was going to happen? God was going to part the waters. They were going to see the hand of God once again. The same hand of God, the same God that parted the Red Sea, was once again going to perform a miracle in the life of the children of Israel. And He didn't tell the priest to just go over there and slap the water or hold a rod over the water as Moses had done before. He didn't tell them to do that. He just told them to bear the Ark of the Covenant and walk up to the brink of the river and stand still. And then God parted the River Jordan. We as Christians need to realize that it is not us that does the work. It is God Almighty. When we come to a place in our life where we think that we are the one that is doing the work, we're at a point of sin in our life because we have pride in our heart. I cannot stand and preach the Word of God on my own. I cannot give the gospel to a sinner on my own. These young people that sing tonight, they cannot stand and sing on their own and it make a difference. Oh, we can go so far. We live in a day of professional Christians. We live in a day that we all know what it takes to be a Christian. We can look the part. We can dress the part. We can talk the part. But it won't be long until it is evident that God's not involved while we do it on our own. Christian, I cannot stress to you the importance tonight of being still and letting God do the work. It is not anything that we can do. It is all what He has done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad that I don't have to build the church. I'm glad that Jesus Christ builds the church. Upon the fact that He was the Christ. Here we find in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He says, whom do men say that I am? And they of course say, well, some people say you're a prophet. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're this or that. And He says, but whom say ye that I am? And we as Christians need to realize it doesn't really matter what everybody else says about our God. It matters what we say about Him. Whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ will build His church upon that fact. And we as Christians need to realize that it is not us that does the work for God, but it's Jesus Christ that does the work and just allows us to be involved in it. Man, I am so glad that I have the opportunities that I have to serve God. But once again, I promise you, I don't deserve them. And I promise you, I cannot do them with effectiveness on my own. I've got to have His power. I've got to have His presence. And I've got to stand still and let Him do the work. It doesn't matter if you teach a Sunday school class. It doesn't matter if you vacuum the floors around here. It doesn't matter if you clean the restroom facilities. It doesn't matter if you sing in the choir. It doesn't matter what you do for the Lord. You need His power. You need His presence. And you need to allow Him to work through you. You see, you can only do it so long in your own power. He's got to be working through you in order for you to accomplish this. You know, it's not about us. Many times we work for the Lord so that we can say, I work for the Lord. I'm just telling you, we're human. We all fight pride. And we do good things for the wrong reason. So that I can say, look what I do for the Lord. We need to be careful about that. Because the Bible tells us that pride is an abomination unto God. And we as Christians need to realize it's not about us. Paul had it right. He said, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another said, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hey, listen, we need to realize that God has given us the opportunity to be involved in His work, but it's not us that does it. It is God that gives the increase. It's not about us. We need to humble ourselves. The Bible says in James chapter number 4, verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Hey, listen, if someone recognizes you for something you do for the Lord, it ought to be because God has lifted you up. Not because you said, look at me, look at what I do for the Lord. We just need to work for the Lord, whether or not anybody recognizes us. We need to realize it's not about us. The sooner we as Christians realize that we're not as important as we think we are, the better off that we'll be. The Bible tells us that He will lift us up. Then, lastly, if we'll stand still and see the work of the Lord, then we must allow Him. Simple. We must allow Him to use us. Do you know that God is not going to twist your arm and make you do then anything? God didn't twist my arm and make me get saved. He simply provided the way of salvation. Showed me that if I continued in my sin, my sin of unbelief, that I would die and go to hell. And I had a choice to make. Whether to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for eternity and go to heaven, or to continue in my sin of unbelief and die and go to hell. Now, anybody that's confronted with that ultimatum, let's say, would be a fool not to trust God. Would be a fool not to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But He didn't twist my arm and make me get saved. He didn't twist my arm and make me serve Him. God may call someone to preach, and they may run from the call. God may call someone to a life of service. God may call someone to do something, and they may run from the call. And God may chasten them and make them wish that they had obeyed. But He'll never force His will upon us. We must surrender ourselves to Him. We must submit ourselves to Him. We must allow God to use us. You think about that? God has given us a choice. God Almighty, the one that created everything, saw fit to give us a choice. And all He wants is for us to give ourselves back to Him. See, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, I beseech you. I beseech you. That word beseech means beg. He's begging us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not unreasonable. He's not asking for something more than what He deserves. He's simply asking for us to yield ourselves to Him and present our bodies a living sacrifice. As I travel the country, I've gotten the opportunity to meet many people, many young people, that have grown up in church, many people who have grown up in church. And I ask them, I say, what are you going to do with your life? What are you planning? And they say, well, I want to do this. I want to do that. Very few times do I have a young person say, Well, I think God's going to have me do this. Now, the way we phrase it sometimes is a window into our heart. Because we ought to give God first place. Every Christian ought to give God first place, whether you're 2 or 200. I don't think there's anybody in here that's 200. It doesn't matter what age we are, is what I'm trying to say. God ought to have first place in our life. It doesn't matter what situation in life we're in, whether we're just starting life or we're, what people would say is it toward the end of our life. God ought to have first place. He desires it. He longs for it. He wants us. In fact, He begs us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you just present your bodies a living sacrifice. We just need to stand still and say, God, I have no idea why you would want to use me. I don't understand your plan for my life. Just like Pastor said this morning, my wife and I were talking this afternoon, I don't know where I'm going to be in the next 5 years, 10 years. I'll guarantee you, if you knew me 10 years ago, you would have said, along with me, he will never teach in a college class. I never thought I would. Never intended to. But that's what God has me doing. I never thought I would be able to travel. As I traveled with a singing group like this about 10 years ago from this very college. I had the opportunity of graduating from Berean Baptist College. And I traveled on a singing group like this. And I got to travel all across the country. And there were men that traveled with me then that did what I'm doing now. And as I look at them, I thought, I could never do that. But that's what I'm doing today. You see, I never aspired to do those things. It was never on my list of things to do, to teach in a college class, or to preach for a group that travels the country, or to do many of the things that I have the opportunity to do. I simply just said, God, whatever you want. And I'm sure the testimony could be the same among us tonight. We look at our lives. I never intended to be where I am now, but God has led me here. And it's only through a heart of surrender. See, surrender is a thing. It's not one time. We've got to be constantly giving ourselves to Him. And as we work for the Lord, and as we do the things that God has us do, let's just take time to be still and see God do the work. Let's be still and remember the salvation that He's given to us. Let's be still and let the Word of God change us. There's not one here tonight that is what God intends them to be in the future. The Word of God has to change us. Every day we've got to draw closer to the Lord and be more like Him. Tonight, let's just be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let the Word of God change us and see the work of God as He works through us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to not let ourselves get in the way, but to let you have full and complete control in our lives.